You know, those blessings run, that track runs both ways, doesn't it? When you get to be a blessing to another family, usually it's a blessing on your part. If you're part of Children's Church, we're going to give you an opportunity to leave right now. There we go. That's a good looking crew there. All right. We're going to try something. And my technology skills are a zero, but sometimes you can get folks to help you that know a lot more about it than you do. And of course, I'm about that all the time. I'm always needing help and getting help, and I'm very grateful for the ones that are able to fall in there and help me. By the way, we've got a young couple with us today that haven't been here for a while, Earl and Ina May. They've been backslid, and they finally got right with the Lord and come back to church. Caught them a ride. No. And Joe and Cindy is up for Earl's birthday. He had a birthday the day before I had one. I was going to tell him, when I came here, I know he thinks that I was a young whippersnapper, but I'm only 3 years younger now than he was when I came. I'm the same age as some of the rest of you when I came. I don't know if that makes it, I didn't seem to make any difference. It didn't have much impact on anybody. Anyway, what I'd like to show you today is that I'd like for everyone 51 and younger to stand up. If you're 51 and younger, all the way down, 51 and younger. Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure this new year all of y'all are on my side. And no, just take a look around at this group. Now you can be seated. Now if our technology works, let's try this.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions, just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing, I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. What'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Paul Harvey produced that on the radio 51 years ago. And it has been a prophecy that has come true in our day. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel, the first chapter. The book of Daniel, the first chapter. And let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the house, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his little g, God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his little g, God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of princes. Now watch closely, Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the princes of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah and Shechariah, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and to tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, whom hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort or your age. Then shall you make me endangered. Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Amelzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, beans, that is, and water to drink. And I could picture one of those other boys looking at him kind of strange about this time. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fair and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, 3 years if you'll remember, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Let's pray. Father, we come before your throne. Lord, I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit today, and understanding and wisdom. And Lord, especially we pray for our youth. God, I pray that your hand would be upon them in such a way that they would be resolved today to serve you with all their heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We sang the song already. I'm going to read it to you, or parts of it anyway. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He's the true one. He's the just one. He has the words of life. I'm resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He's the living way. I'm resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I'm resolved, and who will go with me? Come, friends, without delay, taught by the Bible, led by the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. If I could give this message a title today, I would say a line in the sand. And of course, you know what that means. Someone's drawn a line in the sand. They're determined that they are not going to step over that. They're not going back. Or I am resolved, as in the case of Daniel and lots of other leaders of the Scripture that teach us that they made a resolve in their life to follow God. And you read, some of you at least, in your Sunday school lesson this morning had met people with resolve. And all those children of Israel, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, saw their parents die in the wilderness because they refused to follow God. But these that were young when that 40-year wilderness started, some of them children, They stepped out in faith and followed God. In this first chapter of Daniel, in verses 1 and verse 2, God uses evil Babylon to correct his people. God is never in a position to say, well, I've lost control. He is always in control. He is in control of the world. And a lot of times things happen in our life and we'll think, well, why in the world? God, where are you when this happened? Where were you when my son or my daughter got on drugs, or when they died with suicide, or when they went out into the world? God is still in charge. And I want to warn us today that sometimes that God allows people to get to the very bottom of the ditch before they'll look up. And really the best way to look up, I don't know if you've tried it or not, but laying flat on your back's a pretty good way to look up. And sometimes God allows that in our life in order for us to look up. And sometimes He allows that in our children's life in order for them to look up. But we keep stepping in the way. We keep trying to get them out of trouble. We keep paying their way out to keep them from being flat on their back and looking up to God. There's never a time when God is not in control of the affairs of man. Sin, and in Israel's case, idolatry, brought the judgment of God on Israel through a heathen king. And I believe that there has never been a time in America's history when idolatry has been any more rampant than it is in the day in which you and I live. Now, it's not a carved out God as we would see in the Old Testament, but it's all kinds of different things. Babylon is a symbol in the Bible of evil, and it represents a way of life. I want you to look with me over in the book of Revelation. Would someone turn these lights on? Something about this last birthday. Okay, thank you. If you want to laugh at yourself, go over to Ecclesiastes. We're not going to go there now, but you do it later. And look at all the things that happen as you grow older. Look at Revelation 17. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. I'm sorry. I turned it up before I got there. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Look now at chapter 18 and verse 1. We won't read the whole thing, but look at it. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Now, when is this taking place? This is after the rapture of the church. This is after the tribulation time, when the things have come to the end, when God has set up His kingdom. If you study the book of Revelation and you study the Babylon of the book of Revelation, it is a way of life. Now, folks, if you and I would take our time and look at what has happened in our nation and in the world, there is a force. There is this Babylon. It's a way of life that has taken place. You know, I remember a few years ago, several years ago, when I was in school, I don't think my agri teacher went to church, but he was my hero, and I wanted to be like him. Even though he didn't go to church, he lived a clean life as far as we knew, as far as I knew. Well, I remember they got a new agri teacher at the school, and for some reason I had gone there to give my sister a message or something. I had graduated, and I walked over to the ag building for some reason, and the pickup truck of the new ag teacher was parked there in front of the ag building. And I looked over in it, and the back end was filled with beer cans. And I was so shocked. I couldn't believe myself. I thought, oh my, what has the school done? They've lost their mind. Well, you wouldn't think twice about that now. That would not even enter your mind. This Babylon is a way of life. Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hole of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean, hateful bird. Are you seeing it? Do you see it in our society? For all nations, look at this, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for the strong is the Lord who judges her. Well, look at what the devil's plan is for the youth. Look back at Daniel, this first chapter, and look down at verse 3 and verse 4. He said, bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Now look at verse 4. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom. Do you understand that the devil is out to control the life and the mind of our young people? Those brilliant minds, where would you, if you're just going to take a stab at where the devil has gained the most control, I think that he's gained a multiple control in the media and in Washington and in politics. But the thing that affects us the most, and the place where he has gained the most control, is in the schoolhouse.
That's right. Amen.
Because he wants control of our young people and of our young people's minds. And so he's placed in strategic places. He has put a liberal mind, a Babylonian mind, in the scholarly places, in the universities, where our young people will come out and get their education. He has put the liberal mind there so that for any Christian to be there, they will be downcast, they will be ridiculed, they will be looked upon as stupid. And any time you take a stand for Jesus, you will be ridiculed for it. I went to a state university for 3 semesters when Gwen and I was getting our education. She went in the elementary education block of Arkansas State University at Jonesboro, ASU. And I went to the secondary education block of ASU. Her teachers in the elementary block were Christians, and they talked about God and about praying. In the secondary block, it was terrible. I mean, it was awful. And in that block, I don't believe there was one Christian professor in that block. You see, the devil had a plan. By the time they started thinking for themselves a little bit, and they got in high school, these professors were producing liberals that were going to be teaching in our high schools and teaching our students. When they began to start thinking for themselves, when their mind really began. And this is what happened in Babylon. This is what the king Nebuchadnezzar had on his mind when he was working with these young people out of Israel, was to change them. Now when we look at that, this is what took place. He was going to change what they ate. He was going to change what they wore, what their clothing was. Look closely. He was going to change their language in order to change their God. Amen. And that's exactly what is taking place in the time in which you and I live in. They were well favored. They were gifted students. They were skillful in all wisdom. They were cunning in knowledge, and they had understanding in science. And they did that whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans, if you were to look this word up, the Chaldeans were magicians, astrologers, and diviners. Verse 5. There was a 3-year indoctrination. Food represented the culture. What will we eat tonight? Will it be Mexican, Chinese, or will it be Chaldean? Food, perhaps, that had been offered to their idols. They changed their names. Daniel, which means God is my judge, to Belshazzar, Baal's prince. Now you know about the god of Baal. Baal's prince. Hananiah means beloved by the Lord. And they changed his name to Shadrach, illumined by the sun god. Mishael means who is as God, capital G, our God. Who is like our God? And they changed his name to Meshach. And who is like Venus. So they're trying to change their God. Azariah means the Lord is my help. Abednego is servant of Nego, another of the Chaldean gods. So the plan changed their food, changed their clothing, changed their language, changed their God. So in the same way, Satan wants to indoctrinate us into the world system. He wants us to feed on what the world offers. He wants us to identify with that type of education in the way of the world. Let me ask you, is your menu different than the menu of the world? Is my menu different than the menu of the world? Well, most of us have a TV, and it's normally in a prominent place in our living room or den. Well, what about your menu on that? Are you watching the same thing that the world is watching? What about your kids? Is your kids watching the same thing that the world is watching? And on the videos, on the computers, is your children have the same access as the world's children do? So, when we're talking about a menu, you see that the devil has been, Paul Harvey proved that the devil has been very successful in changing our menu. Yes. Not necessarily the food that we're taking in, but most likely in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I can remember their names better than I can their real names, and you probably can too. One little boy said, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. Our menus have been changed. Verse 8 says that Daniel made a resolve. He made a resolve. You know, I wish I knew how to reach the hearts of our young people, because I think right here is where they're going to make their decisions for life.
Yes.
I think that we've got some teenagers that are sitting in this congregation right now, teenagers and younger, that are going to make their decisions for life in these services. I think that they're going to decide in their Sunday school, they're going to decide in these church services, and if they've been fed by the liberal press, liberal TV, let me change that. Babylonian. They're being fed by the Babylonian lifestyle at school, on the computer, on the TV, by their friends, everywhere they're at. They're going to make a decision sitting in these services and in your Sunday school classes and in Awana. Mom and Dad are old-fashioned. When I get out on my own, I'm going to go the way Junior's parents have taught him. The reason that I know that is that there is a huge percentage of children that are faithful in church from preschool all the way through high school, and when they graduate from high school and they get in college, they get away from God. They made a decision back before that. Now, most likely, as long as they was sitting with their feet under their daddy's table and mama's table, that they said, if you're going to sit with your feet under my table, you're going to go to church every Sunday morning. There never was a discussion at our breakfast table as to whether or not we were going to go to church or whether or not any of the kids were going to go to church. I mean, we got up, got ready, and that's where we went. But I see people giving their children a choice as to whether or not to go. Daniel purposed not to defile himself. That is, that he purposed beforehand. The word defile carries with it the thought of polluting or staining or defiling. Look with me over at Isaiah. Look at chapter 59 and look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquity have separated between you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Malachi says practically the same thing. Let's stand together. When I listened to that program by Paul Harvey, I thought, good night, that was 51 years ago. And I can remember 51 years ago and what things were like. Where have we come to? So, if we're totally convinced that the devil has a plan for our young people, and he does, whether you're convinced or not, he has a plan for our young people. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, one thing, we live before them an example of godly living. And we rev up our efforts in combating the devil's plan. You guys that teach Sunday school and teach in Awana, you're going to get an old kid like I was that won't pay attention, that acts like he doesn't want to be there and probably doesn't want to be there. He'd rather be riding the horse or skinning a rabbit or something. He doesn't want to be there. And so he's doing everything that he can, or she is doing everything that she can to distract all the rest of the class so they don't get anything out of it anyway. That you stay with the stuff. And you love on that kid. And you teach him in spite of himself.